This
When
conference will now be recorded.
You ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and call this Education Committee meeting to order. Time is 2:51 p.m. Date is April 21st, 2021. Next item on the agenda is roll call.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congressman Potts.
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Congressman Maker.
Present.
Speaker Pratt. Chairman Walker.
Here. We have quorum. Next item on the agenda is prayer. Congressman Potts, would you render an afternoon prayer for us, please?
Absolutely.
Lord, we come to you today and just ask for your guidance and continue to share your wisdom with us. Teach us new ways and show us new ways to look at problems, to solve problems that face this nation. Lord, just guide us and direct us and give us information and give us the ability to understand that information as best we can to better serve you and better serve the people of the Osage Nation. Just watch over us and guide us today as we discuss opportunities, as we do our best to move this nation in the right direction. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Congressman. Next is approval of the minutes. Please review the minutes from April 15th.
Chair.
Congressman Tillman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Motion to approve the minutes is presented from April 15th.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Second. Second by Congressman Maker. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say yes.
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 Anyone opposed, say no. The minutes are approved. Next is agenda item 5, which is Education Department update. We've got Mary Wildcat and Trevor Piercy on the line with us representing the Education Department. They have provided a biannual report starting on October 1st, going through the end of March. You have that pulled up. Ms. Wildcat or Mr. Piercy, you guys care to go over the report with the committee?
Sure. I'll go over a brief overview of our events for the year that we've completed so far. We were able to host our annual children's gathering through our STEAM program. We held it virtually for our WELA and our immersion students, and we did that in collaboration with the OSU Extension Office, ENR, Bird Creek Farms, and the Language Department. Basically, what we did for that, it's kind of like a week-long camp that we held in October. We dropped off project supplies and we created instructional videos for each project. And some of the projects that we did were with the kids were like painting with baking soda and learning about the process of photosynthesis by using leaves in a jar and rubbing alcohol, dissolving experiment by using candy and different liquids. And the Osage Language Department also provided lessons that were fall and Halloween related for that specific project. We were able to host our college and career fair, and we tried something new this year. We hosted it virtually, and basically all of the careers and schools, they submitted videos to talk about what they did for a living, and we had slideshows that provided links and videos about different colleges, universities, tech schools, and military branches. It was a really cool project, the first time we've ever done that. We opened the college fair in November, and it closed in January, so students were able to register through a link, and five of our Osage County high schools attended, and we had a total of 122 students register to attend our online event. 47 of those students were Osage students, and we had 54 total colleges, universities, tech schools, military branches, and career reps who submitted videos and information. Some of the careers that were present were doctors, welders, nurses. We had an HR specialist, chemical engineers. There were a variety of options available on the fair. One of the key components that this college fair now meets is there is a ICAP requirement for our students in the state of Oklahoma, and ICAP stands for Individual Career and Academic Planning Program, and it's state mandated. So each student is required to be within that program. So by the students attending our activity, they were able to meet some of those requirements that they have to complete in order to graduate. So really, this event is really supporting our school districts right now, too. That I believe that mandate came in place a couple of years ago. And so we're really seeing a lot of schools locally become interested in this event because of that requirement. So it's been a really good embraced event that we hold. We went ahead and hosted our annual STEAM Christmas Candy House competition. Some of you may have seen some photos on Facebook of different students with their candy houses. The overall top winner for that event was our Pawhuska Wheela. We had 55 participants, and basically the participants submitted photos of their projects. Various judges within the nation and outside of the nation judged the projects through email, and every participant won a prize. We held our STEAM Science Fair virtually as well for 1 week in January. Several nation departments assisted us with judging, and as well as outside of the nation judges. We had three school districts who attended that event with 58 students, and we had 20 judges help with that event. Due to COVID, we canceled our annual Science Fair winners trip, and instead we delivered their awards to them at their schools. We have hosted three virtual ACT prep workshops. We do those every quarter. We hosted one in November, December, and in March. We are still partnering with the Cultural Center to honor our Osage seniors with culturally relevant gifts. We make Osage-style woman necklaces for the women and nice embroidered ties for the men that are graduating. It's really nice, and the Cultural Center is heavily involved in that. They provide a lot of the supplies for the awards, and it's just something that the kids really look forward to now. Our Sylvan tutoring sites, they are still virtual and on site. A lot of our kids are still, their parents are still choosing for them to participate virtually, and that's fine. We've had a really good results from that program, so I feel like that's something that could possibly stick for people that have barriers with being able to travel or possible car issues, or maybe they work in the evenings, but their kids are still able to receive tutoring just through their computer at home. So I think that's a really great program. We're still meeting with students to help them with financial aid, walking them through our higher ed application processes. We do a lot of that through Zoom, not so much in person right now. This year, we worked on a really neat project with Natural Evolution, which is a technology recycling company, and they donated 39 refurbished desktop computers to our department. So we graciously accepted those and created some eligibility requirements, and that is in. I sent a report later with that update, and you guys can kind of look at how many of our students were able to participate, which communities, even the GPA ranges. It was kind of a competitive event. We required a 3.0 GPA or higher for receiving the computer. You had to be an Osage member. You had to complete an application and be enrolled within the grades K through 12. We were prepared to drop that GPA just in case, we weren't able to get rid of all of the computers, and we were able to do that. So I think that's really good that we have so many Osage students doing so well in school right now. Our JOM program, they're still being as active as they possibly can right now, just given the situation we're all in with in-person, events. So far, they've crowned three princesses for different committees. They've had some princess receptions. Our Hominy JOM parent committee is partnering with the Hominy Native American Student Association, and they are hosting a graduation powwow on May 22nd. We are in the process of working on a flyer for that event, so you all will be seeing that circulating. Many of our parent committees are meeting. Some are meeting in person. Here lately, we've had a couple in-person meetings with limited people present, but many of them have been virtually through Zoom, the meetings. JOM is still planning to honor their seniors in each community. It'll just really be up to the parent committees of that specific area. The plans are all still kind of being made right now. Our JOM partnered with the Osage Partnership for Prevention on a poster series webinar. Some of you may have seen Joseph Goodfox on a poster or Nathan Dreadforwater on a poster. Basically, the students submitted names for a logo and photos for the poster, and participating students were able to vote to select the name of their logo that they wanted. So it was all student-driven. It was a really cool event. And so that's kind of what we've done so far. We have a lot more activities planned that I'll be able to report on in the fall. But I'm going to now go over the numbers, which is in the packet that you guys received.
Mary, let me jump in right quick.
Okay.
Before we move on to the biannual report committee, is there anyone that has any questions or comments regarding what Ms. Wildcat just went over? All right, hearing none. You have the floor again.
Okay. For our nationwide academic tutoring program, as Congressman Walker mentioned, these numbers reflect the time of October 1 to March 31st. We have had a total of 53 total approved applications, and those students are actively tutoring. 22 reside on the reservation, 31 reside off. There's more of a detailed breakdown within the packet. For our Osage Nation tutoring program, which is reservation-based, we have 25 total approved applications, and those students are actively tutoring with 10 contracted tutors, and they are all within Osage County. For our Osage Nation school support program, we're serving 500 students through our college courses, our partnerships. We have our TCC concurrent enrollment classes that are still taking place, but they are all being done online right now. The plan is in fall for them all to return back, so hopefully that will happen. The spring numbers, we have 28 total students attending classes, 8 who are Osage. We've seen a decline in numbers from the fall, but I think that online is difficult for some of our high school students. I mean, it's, you know, they're used to coming on site and being able to be taught by an instructor, you know, in person. And I just think that the online is really kind of a difficult thing for some of our kids. Pawnee Nation College, they are wrapping up their partnership with Bay Cone, and they're actually forming a new partnership with a college out of Nebraska. And we actually met with those folks last week, and there are some really exciting things forthcoming. But currently, we do have 9 students attending classes and 8 Osage students and 1 Native student. Our K-State cohort that we have, they all graduated in December. We had a total of 8 students who participated, and they all received their Master's of Science degrees in Educational Leadership. 6 of them were Osage, so I think that's pretty impressive numbers for that program. Our internship, it's pretty slow right now. The pace is getting ready to pick up. Summer's coming, but so far we've served 4 interns, and we've already, since the 31st of this report, we've received several other applications. So our certification and licensure program, we've served 7 people. Our career training program, with fall 20 and spring 21 combined, we've approved 52 applications. For our state scholarship, with fall and spring semesters combined, we've awarded 4 Daniels scholarship, 10 Wheeler scholarships, 6 Atkinson scholarships, 12 Tinker, and 9 Hope. For our graduation stolen accommodation award, we've awarded a total of 22 students. That's the same scenario as internship. Graduation's coming up in May, and we have received several other applications. But as of the 31st, we had 1 associate's degree, 26 bachelor's degree, 13 a master's degree, and 2 doctoral degrees. Our JOM program, we've currently served 84 students through that program. Our College Entrance Assistance Program, 11 students we've served. In our STAR Scholarship, so far, as of the 31st, we received 5 applications who have been approved, but the deadline for that scholarship is May 1st, and I've seen 3 applications come in today, so that's definitely moving along the way that it should. Through our STEAM program, as I mentioned before, we've hosted 3 different events, and we are still conducting daily activities, STEAM activities, in our WELA Head Start and Immersion sites, and we've served a total of 406 participants so far. And that is the end of this report. Does anyone have any questions?
Ready?
Chair, I'll have some questions, but I'm going to wait until she's complete. So.
Yes, I'm finished.
Congressman Tillman, she said she's finished.
Yes, yeah. Mrs. Walker, were you through? I didn't seem like you were going to continue on, which I was enjoying your presentation. Are you?
Well, we are partially through. Trevor will go over higher ed after this portion.
Okay, I'll get with Trevor later. I'll ask you some questions, and I've got about three here. And first of all, just want to thank you and Trevor for the job that you do. I know it's highly rewarding when you see students succeed in the realm of academia. And I was judging some of those projects. I think it was for the STEAM back in January, and got to judge some of the students' attempts and what they were doing. But I never did get the results. If I did, maybe I missed it, but maybe you could look at that and send that to me. I would appreciate that, because there were some really interesting projects and creativity that went into those. And I was impressed with, you know, the majority of what I got to be to judge on. So
yes, definitely.
Yeah, and a couple of things before we. I know that we have, the positions, I forget what you call the positions, where we have educational people in the public school system. And just how is the culture between the Osage Nation Education Department and the public schools at this point? You feel like that's going well? Could you kind of talk to that?
Yes, I feel like it's going really well. We actually have our own office space in most of the school sites that we visit. Each day we're visiting a different site. They really embrace our program. I mean, our local schools, they are struggling just along with all of the other organizations in the world. You know, they've had a lot of turnover in our area, you know, just with the COVID, a lot of people are deciding to retire early. There's a lot of open positions in the schools, and I feel like we've been able to kind of go in and still keep our Osage students afloat by making sure they're applying for the necessary paperwork that they need to for school, and making sure they're completing that financial aid package and our scholarship information and other scholarships. And I actually talked with one of our advocates the other day, and she was really bragging. She said that three of her students just from Pawhuska had applied for the Cobell scholarship. And I don't know if any of you have been able to ever look at that application process, but it is very lengthy. It takes a long time to complete. You have to really start working on that really early. And we've had three out of one school that have applied for that. And I thought that was really impressive. And just things like that. So I feel like we've been really doing a great job with filling in those gaps for a lot of our schools. You know, like Hominy, for example, they went without a high school counselor, I want to say, for at least 3 or 4 months in the beginning of the school year. And so one of our advocates, she was able to really step in and help out with that situation at that school. And we're just seeing a lot of change going on in our school districts around Osage County. And I'm really happy to know that we have people that are able to go in there and help our kids and advocate for our kids and just make sure that they're on the right track. And the schools are very thankful for it. And that's the feedback that I receive, you know, is that they're just really thankful for that additional support that we're providing there, because there's been times they haven't really been able to do that. So
that's really good.
Our relationships are good.
That's really good news. Chair, if I may, I know there was some, the Osage Nation received some CARES Act funding, I think, $45, $46 million. And I know other tribes received funding as well. If you look at some of the other nations, they gave monies to education to improve connectivity, maybe distance learning for students, investing in the distance learning grants, telework, telehealth software and equipment, and access to broadband for Wi-Fi zones and hotspot devices, those kinds of things. Did our education department receive any of those CARES Act funding?
We did not. That was kind of covered through the CARES Act funding. I believe the application, when parents submitted those applications on behalf of their students or their children, there were options for, I believe, check marks for Wi-Fi or distance learning programs or you know, technology of some sort for that. And I believe that that was kind of included in that disbursement that they gave. I believe, what did we disperse two rounds of the CARES money? But I'm glad that you did mention that, because we actually did meet with the schools pretty heavily when all these changes were coming in, around May. And we did discuss some of the needs that they needed. And we talked about, you know, we provide school supplies. And so we did talk to them about that, like, would you rather us do this, or do we need to be looking at some different options for our kids? And they said, no, please provide the school supplies, because they're still going to need it. Rather, you know, whether they're working from home or at school, they still are going to need the school supplies. Many of our districts, they received CARES funding as well. They were able to provide hotspots, Chromebooks, and things like that. Some of them wrote grant technology grants. And I do know that some of them used their Title VI Indian Education funds to provide hotspots to many of the Native American students in the school district so that they would have Wi-Fi for their Chromebooks. So I feel like we did a really good job with communicating with the superintendents and the principals, just to make sure that we're all meeting the needs of the kids. So that's kind of the way that we went about assisting those students.
Good, good. Well, that's good to know. I just didn't know if we had received, you all had received any direct monies from the nation for purposes of distance learning. And just lastly, you'd mentioned tutoring and the different schools and the students that were involved in tutoring. Do our immersion school students receive tutoring? And if so, are there students in the immersion that are getting the tutoring opportunity?
Yes, they do receive tutoring. We actually work really closely with Mr. Martin on that, and he's actually sit down with our main tutor vendor that provides our satellite tutoring sites, and he's in direct communication with them. So we've really kind of merged that relationship for them, so that those kids can be receiving those services.
Do you know how many students in immersion that we're serving?
I do not, but that is a good point. We can add that to the report for next time.
Yeah, and maybe send that information to the chair of the education committee would be helpful as well. And then finally, I think in our last meeting we were talking about the strategic plan and some of the numbers that we were looking at through the pie charts and the percentage of students in four-year degrees and then associate degrees, and how those numbers made up the pie charts, if you recall that. And just wondering if you've gathered that information or still working on that to send that to us as well.
We are. We sent the request to Scholarship America. And I think that right now they charge a fee. So a fee is charged if it's a report that's outside of the contract and they deem this specific report as being outside of the contract. So they submitted a fee and we submitted that to Jordan, and I think we're kind of in the process of figuring out where we want to go with that.
Okay, well, very good. Well, Mary, thank you again. Trevor, thank you. And Chair, I thank you for the time, and that's all I have for now.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Mr. Chair.
Anyone else? Congressman Posh, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Ms. Wildcat, and thank you, Mr. Piercy, for being on the call with us today. I always love getting this education report because it's good data, it's informative, it's thorough, and thank you so much. A unique opportunity here, and I haven't seen him chime in yet, so I think we would be remiss if we missed this opportunity. And that is to congratulate one of our own, Congressman John Maker, who was one of the participants, I believe. And hopefully you can speak a little bit to this, Congressman Maker, if you'd like, but congratulate Congressman Maker on receiving his master's degree, one of the most recent masters in educational leadership as part of our partnership with Kansas State University. So want to extend that congratulations to him and thank our education department for the work that they've done on behalf of all of our students to provide that opportunity to so many, including Congressman Maker. So congratulations there. But to continue on and kind of on my line of questioning for the education department, and I can go back to last year's report and look at these numbers, but just kind of if you could speak to a more general trend, how did these numbers compare to last year? Are we seeing an uptick in tutoring as a result of maybe some distance learning deficits? Go ahead.
Okay. I would say that it's kind of hard to say right now because we've received a lot of inquiries and input about summertime. Grades are coming in. A lot of parents are finding out whether their students are going to pass or be retained. There's just kind of a lot of movement going on right now. And this is pretty typical for this time of the year. I do expect to see a rise in these numbers, especially for the summertime. I would say, you know, some of the college courses that we offer, I'm noticing, you know, like TCC, it's really dropped. But like I said, a lot of our students in high school, you know, that online work, it's just really difficult. You know, they're used to in-person classes, and to move from that to online, I just think that it was just very difficult for some of our kids. Our internship program has slowed down a little bit, but a lot of our sites, not a lot, but some, you know, they're either accepting or they're not, or the students, they don't want to be in public yet, or now they're ready. I mean, it's just kind of been kind of an odd year, you know. But other than that, I mean, things are moving. Schools are starting to lift some of their mandates. They're starting to have more activities. I've noticed since the vaccines came out that a lot of the school closures really slowed down a lot. The fall was full of closures. I mean, it was like one school was open, then they closed for 2 weeks, then they'd open again, then they'd close again. Then we went into Thanksgiving break, and then we were in Christmas, and it's just been kind of a whirlwind, but I feel like things are getting back to somewhat normal. I mean, not all the way. I know we're not out of the woods on everything, but I feel like we're starting to, you know, move forward. And even just athletics, a lot of our kids just, they're not really participating in extracurricular activities, maybe because they're doing an all virtual program and their parents really don't want them out in the public right now. You know, it's just kind of been a unique year, I would say, for sure.
And thank you. And that's kind of what I was going to hit on is, you know, and you mentioned it, the one that was really
kind of concerning to me is the TCC concurrent enrollment. Where we dropped from 55 students in the program to 28 students in the program. Now, are those the TCC concurrent, that is that specifically at the Hominy site there? Or is that throughout Tulsa County or anywhere that Tulsa Community College has a concurrent enrollment site?
This is specifically the Hominy site, which is Osage County.
Okay.
But you know, they did all online this whole academic year, so no one came out to our site, and I believe that was a policy that TCC had in place. And I know that a lot of that related to the state mandates that were in place as well, you know. But I noticed that too. I was really surprised. But, you know, a lot of kids that started the virtual program, they just decided to graduate early. I mean, we did see that quite a bit. Some of our kids finished in December. They had what they needed and they finished, you know. So, I mean, that could be some of it too, or it could just be that maybe some of the kids didn't want to do online. And I understand that too. I don't know that I would have done that in high school. I don't know if I would have been ready for that. So,
understand completely. So two other areas that I would just like to focus real quick is the certifications and licensure program. Have we seen any uptick in that from a previous year? Is that holding steady?
That's usually really small. That's probably around a normal number for this time of the year. We usually don't serve that many on that program just because it's a one-time program. But that's a pretty normal number that we would see around this time of the year.
Perfect. And then the next is the college entrance testing. Are we seeing any increases there, decreases there? And that may be too early because I know some students are just now getting acceptance letters. So, maybe we don't have a full handle on that number yet, but I was just going to check in with you on that number.
I think that's pretty, that's a pretty typical number. And, you know, a lot of those services for our kids in county, we're able to fund them through JOM. So a lot of the numbers that you're probably looking at are students that do not live in our area. But, so I would say that was pretty normal. That program's kind of a small program.
Okay.
And then, a lot of our schools too, locally, they provided that ACT test for free. So like I know Pawhuska, they provided two tests. One, I believe, last month and another on April 6th, and they were for free. And so we're not, you know, there's just kind of a lot of that going on too right now, just because of the situation. And I believe the graduates this year, they're not even using the ACT score. It was waived. So they're just strictly going off the GPAs.
Yes. And I've been following that as well. That's a new development. So last one, and I promise I'll be quiet for a little while, and that's the career training scholarship. We saw that hold steady in the fall and spring. So far for summer, we have zero. I just want to make sure that's because we're not approaching that deadline yet. It hasn't passed. That's nothing to worry about at this point. Do you normally have applications that have come in at this point?
No, not as of March 31st, not usually.
Perfect.
And they have up until the day their classes start to apply for that. So a lot of them are applying a little bit more closer just because of the paperwork and things that are required. So.
Okay. And then on that too as well, we saw in the fall that there were zero incomplete applications. And then in the spring, we saw six. What outreach do you have to the career training scholarship recipients to try to make sure they complete that? Is there a reason for those incomplete applications?
It was probably just the time that we did our reporting. I mean, it could have been that we were waiting on grade reports. It could have been that we were waiting on verification of enrollment from the school.
Okay,
just things
so that
like
winter spring number, those incomplete applications, those can still be completed here relatively soon. Okay, all right.
If they're
thank
not
you.
Already complete, yes.
Perfect. Thank you very much for answering my questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, committee. Who's next? All right, well, Mary, thanks for the update and report. I've always enjoyed it. You're very thorough. Definitely can hear your passion about your job, and we appreciate that. So, committee, if there's nothing else on the education portion, the biannual report, let's move to the higher ed, the Scholarship America portion. Is that okay? Or anyone else want to go over the education portion? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to
Chairman.
Yes, sir. Congressman Maker, is that you?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to just say a few things about Ms. Wildcat's presentation. It's always very good and thorough, like you said, and we always enjoy hearing it. And I just want to say, this past year, we all know how difficult everything was, and in education, especially with the children. And as we all know, everything is going on with the pandemic. But I just like to say, I commend you again, doing a great job under all the, you know, severe circumstances or put on us, all of us, even the government up here. And I just want to say, just thank you for doing such a great job.
Thank you. Thank you for all of the comments. We appreciate it. I know all the staff appreciates it too. So thank you.
All right. Well, Congressman Maker, I thought you were going to kind of tell us about your experience in getting your master's and graduation, or congratulations again, by the way.
Well, thank you. I wasn't on the agenda, but I would be happy to give some details on that. Maybe another time.
All right. Okay. So moving on to the Scholarship America portion of the higher ed. Does everybody have the latest Scholarship America or the Higher Education Scholarship Status Report sent out earlier? If anyone doesn't, please let me or the clerk know and we can get it sent over to you.
Got it.
Okay, so I've got it pulled up. Mary, did you say that Trevor was going to go over this? I mean, I'd be glad to. It's a spreadsheet, an Excel spreadsheet.
Yes.
I mean, it's pretty detailed. I mean, so I don't know what you'd really want me to go over in regards to it, but I mean, I can answer any questions that you guys could have once they have a chance to review it. But as of right now, we are 178 applicants less than last year, but of course those could increase depending on appeals that are received throughout the year. As of right now, we have 905 that have been approved for fall, 765 that have been approved for winter/spring, and for the graduate degree award, they have approved 26. So as of right now, we have spent, according to all of those that have been approved, about $6,638,777.08.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and stay there. So you'll look at the number of payment requests received and the number of applicants rewarded.
Yeah.
What would you say the biggest reason is for those that are either ineligible or incomplete and ultimately don't get awarded?
Ineligible, incomplete, I would say the majority of them is, I would say maybe, I know a lot of them would be, they have missed the deadline or they have reached their maximum amount. A lot of times what we've noticed is a lot of students are taking 18 hours, 18, and they'll go ahead and use that 36 really fast, or they'll take more. Because how Scholarship America funds is they can fund up to 36 in an academic year in any kind of order. They just, but once they hit that max amount, they can't receive any more fundings for that academic year. There's that. And then there is the lifetime limit. Once they hit the lifetime limit, then they also will be ineligible too.
Okay.
And then the incompletes are usually the ones that did not submit the applications on time.
All right, gotcha. So for the sake of anyone that might be listening or clicks on the link and listens in the future, and I'm aware of this because Mary and I have been communicating. I've got a senior in high school who's going to college next year. Could, just for the sake of those that may be listening or curious, could you mention the deadline?
Yes, the deadline, the application will open May 15th of each academic year, and it will close June 15th. So it will be open for a whole month. And the student will need to go on to Scholarship America's website and create a register. They'll have to register first. And then you'll log back on, and then you will apply for the Osage Nation Scholarship. Once you apply, you should receive an email. If you do not receive an email, then you'll want to go back on there to make sure that you hit the submit button or contact Scholarship America to verify that you submitted it. But it's also, all of that information is on our website, and it is posted on in our student handbook, which our student handbook is published by May 15th of each year on our website too.
All right, thank you. Committee, any questions regarding?
Go ahead.
Was that Congressman Maker?
Yes, but I yield to who someone was before me.
I think it was me.
Well, I just wanted to ask you that what Trevor just said about those steps to the scholarship, that sounded like a lot of steps to me. Do the students have a hard time with the filling in all those steps there, Trevor? Do they have help?
What I've learned is that a lot of the younger ones prefer it because it's a portal and they can just log in at any time instead of having to submit paperwork to say, did the paperwork go through? Did you only receive page 1 and 2 out of 3? A lot of them are liking that. It's just you can go on there and you can save it and come back and complete it later, and they can check on their status as they're able to, as they have time. So I've found out a lot of them find it a lot easier now. The only problems I have seen is maybe them not hitting the actual submit button. Like they've completed it, but they didn't hit that. So that's why I always tell students, and it's very important that they check their emails, because anytime that they submit something, they should always get an email verifying that. So what a lot of times what they'll do is they'll go on there, they'll fill it out real fast, and then exit out without hitting submit. So that's the biggest thing, is just making sure you hit the submit button.
And is it safe
as
you progress through the application? Sorry, Congressman Maker, does it save it as you go?
You can save it, but the thing is when students will go in there, they're like, oh, well, it's completed. I see it right now. But they don't scroll to the very bottom where there's usually a submit button to submit that.
Okay, gotcha. I was talking about like if they got started on it, didn't finish, save and come back to it.
Yeah, as far as I know, that that was an option. I haven't filled it out since they've updated it, their the website, but I do know that was they did do that, so I can double check to make sure that is still being done. But because they did say that students were able to go back and complete it later if need be.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'd be surprised if that weren't an option. Congressman Maker, I think I jumped in there on you. Sorry, did you have something else?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, I didn't. I would just I heard the answer from Mr. Piercy, so thank you.
You're welcome, and congrats on your degree.
Congratulations.
Thank you all. I tell you what, that was a rough 2 years with the COVID major surgery. It was very difficult.
I'm sure. I wish I would have jumped in there with you.
You should have stayed with us. Thank you. Thank you both for all your help, too.
You're welcome.
Hey, right quick, one of the things that kind of jumps out at me a little bit, looking at the fall versus the winter and spring applications, you know, the awarded and received process, all of that. And I should know this, but once you submit for the academic year, I mean, you're obviously in the queue, or you're registered for the entire academic year, which includes winter and summer if you want, right?
Correct.
So
once you submit that, you become eligible to submit a payment request for any term.
Okay, gotcha. I just find it to be surprising that there's 1,000 that have submitted 1,013 payment requests for the fall, and there's 835 also for the winter. Are those separate requests?
There is, okay, you're talking about the 113 that was for the fall, and you said 835 for the spring? Yes, those are, some of them might be the same students, some of them might not be. So those are just the students that, because altogether there is 1,206 students that could apply. So it could be any of those 1,200. So it technically, it doesn't have to be the exact same students, because there's some students that started in spring, and there are some students that graduated in fall.
Oh, I see. I overlooked the 1,206 on the top left of the report. Okay. Committee, anything else regarding that? Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Piercy, please bear with me. I know this isn't your report. This is Scholarship America's, but I know you're very familiar with it, and I'm just doing some quick math. Real quick on the spreadsheet, and what I'm seeing is encouraging, and I just want to try to confirm this with you here. To the right in columns I, J, K, and L, you've got the total number of students awarded at associate colleges, baccalaureate college, research universities, and then graduate degrees, professional degrees. And so what I'm looking at here is as a percentage of the total overall applications awarded, we're going from 15% of the applications awarded in the fall of 2020 to 13% in the winter and spring of 2021. And so what that suggests to me is you have fewer students going for an associate's degree, and you also see a corresponding 12% to 11% decrease of the baccalaureate universities. And then here's what's encouraging. You see a 52% to 54% increase at research universities, and then a 19% to a 20% increase there for the total number of graduate and professional degrees. So what that would suggest to me, and hoping to confirm with you, and I get that our sample size is a little skewed here, but what it might suggest is students who start with the Osage Nation Scholarship continue on. And
correct.
We can see them progress through this. So if we are able to knock down some of those barriers that may exist outside of, the Osage Nation, potentially that encourages these students to continue on. 20% of our applicants getting graduate degrees, that's amazing.
Yes, I do agree with you. And I think a lot of it, and our numbers will fluctuate. I think a lot of it has to do with the past 5 years we have incorporated, stricter guidelines, which kind of let them becoming, they have become more responsible with their degree plans. So with having the 36 a year, that kind of gives them, you know, like, oh, I can get up to this, but if I got to go down to part-time, I can. And then being having a lifetime limit, then they have to be responsible on what classes they're going to take. Like, I can't change my major two or three times. I'm going to have to stick with one. And then it's like, if you want to receive more funding after you get, you know, your bachelor's degree, you can, but you have to get that degree so you can move on to the master's, because we have so many hours that we can fund undergrad, so many hours for a master's, and so many hours for a doctoral. So I think them reading our policies and having to follow the guidelines to make sure that they can receive their max funding, I think a lot of that has helped them become more responsible in what they're wanting to do. On top of, we have, again, an academic advisor that has helped, you know, if they need help with anything to, for additional funding and stuff. So I think I do see where the numbers have increased. And I think having those guidelines that we have set forth in the policy has really helped, but it also has a decrease in regards to people continuing getting funding, but never getting a degree. If that makes sense, because we've had students, you know, going over, they'll be like 200 hours and still don't have a bachelor's. So now they're kind of like, oh, I get like 144 for an undergrad. I got to take responsibility for, you know, what courses I'm getting, because I want to get max funding for the degree I'm going for. I hope that made sense.
Perfect. And man, good job. I'm encouraged to see that the number of students applying for four-year degrees or graduate degrees is increasing. That's amazing.
Yes.
I also wanted to include, I forgot to mention earlier, we added an addition to our webpage, which is titled the post-secondary resource page. And the reason why we did that is so students can also be looking for additional funding outside of our scholarship. And we've posted links to other scholarships, and you'll just, whenever you get time, you'll have to check it out. But we hope to build to that page as well. So I just wanted to mention that.
Perfect. I'll do it. Thank you.
Committee, anyone else regarding the report?
Chairman Walker, not about the report. It's about a comment that Ms. Wildcat just made.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Chairman Walker. Hi, Trevor. Hi, Mary. Glad you guys are here today. So I've just been taking it all in, you know, and I just am so happy. I'm so glad you brought it up, Mary, because I went to the website and I saw where you added so many of those other links, and you're going to continue to add those, because it is important. We've talked about that before during our education committees, about all of the other funding opportunities that are out there for Native people. And just to kind of segue into, you know, the American Indian College Fund has that full circle scholarship right now, and the deadline is May 31st. And I think it's interesting, you know, when you look at it, it's a really great scholarship for kids if they get in and apply for it. And I don't know if enough of our kids do. And but I certainly hope that by adding a link there for that particular one, that there'll be more funding opportunities for them in that way. Because, you know, I'm a proponent for those folks that don't always make the straight A's, that might average around a C and have a couple of D's in there, and but they're still good employees and become, you know, good in the workforce in that area. And so, you know, we have some legislation on the docket for, not on this meeting, but, you know, to change the requirements of a student in good standing, and I'm not in support of it, of course. And, you know, seeing that the American Indian College Fund, you know, which is a national organization, the full circle scholarship alone, the grade point average is a 2.0, is a requirement. And so I'm really happy to see that that's there, and that we had that for them. And I hope you all encourage our folks to, you know, utilize those links. And I'm certainly going to encourage anyone that I know that's headed that way to college to check out every link that they can. And secondly, I just want to tell you that, you know, I have a daughter, my youngest daughter is a senior. And so I've dealt with your program, not me personally, because I have my children do it themselves, but for several years now. And we receive emails from Miss Lauren Redigal with scholarship opportunities all the time for my daughter. I have to applaud you all for that, because I know that they're going to other students also besides just the Osage Nation scholarship. And I was so encouraged on top of that. So I want to tell you guys, good job for that. And if you could please relay that to the individuals that are out in our schools, that are talking to our people and that are sitting down with them face to face and then following up with emails. You know, sometimes those kids get that senioritis and they're not wanting to go ahead and put forth the effort because they do have senioritis, whatever it is. Some don't. Some are overachievers. But I just want you to know that I'm getting scholarship, notifications besides for all kinds of scholarships around the country. And it's refreshing to know that you guys are tapping into that. So good job, and thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Lauren, she goes above and beyond. I mean, she is sending emails out all of the time, and that's really why we created that post-secondary resource page. Is we would have so many people call, and they apply for our scholarship, but, you know, they may have additional costs that they have to pay, and they want to know about other scholarships. And so we decided that this was a real need, and it was a great link to just be able to send to parents and students. And a lot of them just don't even know where to start or where to look or how to begin. And so we thought that this would be a great start to that, you know, process. And I appreciate your comments, and I will definitely let her know that.
And if you guys have any scholarships that we don't have on there, feel free to send it to us and we can put them on there. Because we as we find them, we like to add them too. And I do agree, Lauren does a very good job. And she usually she stays on those kids. Like, you're about to graduate, you got to get it done.
Mr. Chairman Walker.
Congresswoman Lemon, go ahead.
Thank you, Chairman Walker. Thank you guys again, and I will send a couple that way here pretty soon. There's also a really cool app that you can get on our phones, and I'll try to get that sent to you. It's not on mine; it's on my daughter's, and I don't remember what the name of it is. But there's an app out there that for scholarship funding, and it's not just for Native folks. You know, that's something that I had a short conversation with one of my daughter's classmates who isn't Native, and she was feeling overwhelmed, and my daughter actually told her, hey, there's this app out there that you can get, and you can see all these things that that you can possibly apply for. And because she just assumed that that she wasn't going to be getting any kind of funding or as much funding as somebody who is Native. And I was like, oh my gosh, no, there's so much out there that you can do. And so anyway, I will send you that app and then some other scholarships that I didn't see that's on your website. But thank you.
Well, thank you, and definitely send them to us. And we also like to, as we get them, we try to share them on our Facebook page for anyone. And that app sounds like a great opportunity for a lot of people. I mean, I've never heard of something like that. So if you can get that, just definitely send it to us.
Okay, that sounds great. Thanks. Thank you, Walker, Chairman Walker.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right, committee. Anyone else? Anything else regarding the report? Now, I've got a question. It's not necessarily about the report. Just curious, with the once a year, the annual application process, just curious, I'm not asking for, you know, exact, just approximately, how many would you guess or estimate missed the deadline and maybe didn't even plan to go to college in the fall but want to go in the spring? How many phone calls do you guys field from people that are asking about applying for the scholarship?
Well, if you're talking about, okay, so the ones that just call and inquire, those have cut back a lot because we have put in the handbook and we've stressed to the students over the years that, you know, they need to contact Scholarship America directly in regards to the higher ed to alleviate a lot of our phone calls. And now in regards to the appeals process with the ones that have missed the deadline, I would say maybe I've probably received about 65. But that's not, that could be students that, like you said, that are wanting to go in the spring. Like I didn't apply because I was wanting to go in the spring. So there's those. And then there's the ones that are, there was one that I've seen that was wanting to go in the summer. That they're like, I didn't know I needed to apply, you know, a year in advance. So they all vary on what the appeal is regarding.
Do you have an approximate success rate on the appeals?
In the handbook, in the appeals, a student, as long as we still have a deadline in the appeals, so it is like a yes and a no. So they, depending on when they submitted it, like if you're wanting the spring funding, you have to submit it before the opening date of spring. So I might have a student that applies that wants, like, well, I want fall and spring, but if they've already waited too late for the fall, then they will be denied for the fall. But hey, you can still get the spring and the summer, and they'll be approved that way. So it really fluctuates of when they send that appeals and if they meet that deadline.
What's that deadline?
I don't have the handbook in front of me, but for, I want to say spring, I think spring opens, I think October 15th. Now, I wouldn't quote me on that. But if they, like, for example, let's say spring opens October 15th, they would have to submit it by October 14th, and they would be able to get fall or spring funding. But if they were to submit it after the fact, then they would be like denied spring, but then they would qualify for summer still.
Okay, gotcha. So if
so
the appeal
was giving that opportunity.
Okay, I got you. So there is a deadline to submit an appeal to get spring funding, and it's somewhere in mid-October or so.
Yeah, it's because I know, let me see, I have it pulled up. So spring would be, yes, spring is October 15th. That's when the opening day of the payment request. So they would need to submit it no later than October 14th to be able to be considered for spring funding.
Okay.
That way, we're not really, you know, like denying anyone throughout the whole year, and we still give them an opportunity to receive funding through that academic year. But again, we do have to have some kind of, you know, deadline so we're able to process, because you don't want somebody to be turning it in at the end of the semester.
Understood. Committee?
Chair.
Congressman Tillman, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, to either Mrs. Wildcat or Mr. Piercy, how are you guys staffed? Everything good? Do you need anything, additional support, additional staff? Is everything operating smoothly? I know obstacles come and go, and I know we cut back a little bit during the COVID and that kind of thing, but are you staffed where you need to be?
We can always use more staff. I think we're doing good right now, I would say, with what we have. So
yeah, if you did have to, what you did kind of hint that you could always use more staff, what area would you be most concerned with?
Can I hang up? No, I'm teasing. maybe one more advocate, and I would say that, you know, that would be, you know, something that would be really helpful right now. Other than that, we're running pretty smoothly right now. So.
Okay. And I don't want you to hang up, but just, you know, a fair question. And sometimes people are hesitant to say, and they do the extra work and put in the extra time. And sometimes that can have an effect on your results, and just wanted to make sure you guys had everything you need. So once again, thank you both so much for all that you do for the nation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, committee. Anything or anyone else?
And our children. Thank you.
All right. Mary, Trevor, thanks again. Always enjoy you guys' report. Thorough. Well, with that, committee, I think that brings us to adjournment.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Is there a second? All right, well, I'll take care of that without objection.
Sorry,
committee, all right, hearing no objection, committee, we're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Wildcat, and thank you, Mr. Piercy.
Thank you.